I talked with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I asked His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could be paid only too willing, for He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. And the far distant shore, many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me in that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all sin. He'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the roads all up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all sin. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the roads call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. In that wedding music that I hear, the bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for the wedding celebration. It's that wedding music that I hear. The family is prepared for a wedding. All have been invited to attend. The bride is standing ready, waiting for the signal. When the groom says, "Rise, my children, come on in." It's that wedding music that I hear. The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? Sun will rise to lead the land of sorrow, for that ceremony in the air. The Father then will lead us through the holy land of splendor. Have you made your preparation to go there? Is that wedding music that I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for the wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? Sun will rise to leave this land of sorrow, for that ceremony in the air. The Father then will lead us through the holy land of splendor. Have you made your preparation to go there? Is that wedding music that I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? Is that wedding music that I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for the wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? We hear about the war, we see the famine in the land. There's questions in the children's eye, trouble in the east again. The whole world is shaking, there's no safe place to stand. And the mournful sounds are heard throughout the land. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of a city that jumps all coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. I remember the preacher saying, "Son, it shall come to pass. There'll come a generation that will be the last." I can't believe I'm standing here to see the end of time. And the preacher's voice still echoes in my mind. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of a city that giants are coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of a city that jumps up coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Can you hear the Eliezer call? There's gonna be a wedding. Our joys will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the Eliezer call? There's gonna be a wedding. Our joys will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the Eliezer call? There's gonna be a wedding. Our joys will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. I keep coming back to the well of great. Great is the power, sweet is the faith. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the faith. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the faith. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time. Wait until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. I'll use a different translation. So then do not judge anything before the time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the motives of hearts. Then each will receive recognition from God. In German, darum richtet nicht vor der Zeit, bis der Herr komme, weil er auch wird ans Licht bringen, was im Finstern verborgen ist, und den Rat des Herzens offenbar machen. That's what's going on right now. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come. Well, I know we're saying things that not too many people agree with, but Jesus is off the mercy seat, and he's down here now doing this very thing. He's revealing the motive and the intent of the heart. That's why we're exposing unfruitful works of darkness. We're just kind of helping the Lord, you know. We're His voice piece here on earth for now, you know, that there's... It's the only voice he had. Like we sing that song, I talked to the Lord many nights by my bedside. I asked His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd only be willing. For He died for my sins. And, you know, when I take inventory, I have to take inventory because the scripture is now becoming fulfilled. I take inventory of myself. What's the motive? Why are we doing this here thing? Why do we get up 5 a.m? Why do we have these conversations? Why are we doing what you're doing? I said, well, obviously, it's not for money because we don't make any money. We don't accept no tithes. We don't accept no money from nobody. So that's not the purpose. And are we trying to make a name for ourselves? Yeah, I got to take inventory of
what's the motive? What's the intent of the heart? Because Jesus is now down here, and he's testing and revealing the motives in the intent of every person's heart. And all of a sudden, here in his end time, everything is being exposed. And like I say, we're helping him, because we said, if I could repay, I'd only be willing. And that's what we've given over. Let's allow the Lord to use us for his glory. And that's what's going on right now. And people realize it or not, when you listen to these YouTube preachers, they're so far out in left field. 7 years of tribulation when there's only 3.5 years. And it's way somewhere out beyond years and years from where we know we're at. We know Jesus is off the seat of mercy. He's down here. We're in the 70th week of Daniel. We only have 3 more years left before Satan is tied up. And then Satan's 6,000 years of his reign runs out, because, like Jesus said, he's the prince of this world. And he was given 6,000 years. He was given 6 days. I can prove it to you in the scripture. But here now, his time is running out, and it's not too soon, because as far as I'm concerned, somehow he was given 6,000 years back when he deceived Adam and Eve, and then it was like a test, you know, we'll see who they're going to be obedient to. And they were obedient to Satan, and then Satan took over this planet, and like I say, he's given 6,000 years to do his dastardly things. But that 6,000 years, eventually, somewhere up the road here, they expire, they run out, and he's done served his time as the destroyer of this planet. You know, he's given 6 days, and then the day of the Lord sets in, and then the separation of the ghost and the sheep. See, we got the blueprint. We found the blueprint in the scripture. When we found that midnight cry and all that, the rest is very automatic, really. All you got to do is follow the instructions. Like we said the other day, when you buy something, like say something that, and then take it home and then you put it together. You got to have your instructions of how to do it. And that's what we did with the Bible. Once we got that midnight cry, we went to the Bible and we found the instruction. We found the young Kippur, and we found all these things in the scripture. Now we can see right now Jesus is down here and says, don't judge nothing. Wait until the Lord comes. Well, the Lord has come. He's down here. You don't see it. He's down here in spirit form, and he's down here for about 3.5 years until the rapture comes, and then that silence in heaven, that's all now. Once the rapture happens, there's no more silence in heaven. That's why it says there's going to be silence in heaven for a space of about 30 minutes. And see, we tapped into that, and we're just kind of just reading the instructions for people, because that's all we've ever done in life. That's all we've ever wanted in life, was to know this great God and to know where we are in time and history. And by God's grace, he's given us all that. Now we're just expressing it and telling people where it's at. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you to give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord. We just pray that we'll never come to a place in our life where we take your mercy and your grace for granted, Lord. We just always want to be mindful and thankful how you're leading, guiding us, Lord, by that of your Spirit, Lord. We just commit our lives to you, Lord, that you'll just continue to do so, because there are no greater joy and then to serve you, Lord, because like we keep saying over and over, there's nothing in us that can produce anything that has any eternal value. So we just pray that you continue to do with us as you see fit. Lead and guide us by that of your Spirit, Lord. Most of all, I pray you'll give that increase, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're just trying to examine ourselves, you know, and that when before he comes, what's my motive? What's the intent of our hearts here when we're doing the things we're doing? Is it to make a name for us all? Well, pretty obvious. There's not much of fame in the things we're doing, because Jesus, back in Philippians, Paul said, if I'm a servant of Christ, I can't please man, you know? He says, I just don't know exactly how he goes. If I yet please man, I cannot.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot be a servant of Christ. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to please men, because he can't please men. Jesus, he couldn't please men, because they, no matter what he did, they found fault with him. And then when they couldn't find fault with him, they lied up things about him. That's the same with us. There's no way that you can please men. If you if you're out there doing the Lord's work, he'll try to mold you into their platform, into their pattern, and try to get you to work for them. But if you want to get me a nightmare, then get me a nightmare about that color of life. And that's all that color of life. They're working for Satan, whether they know it or not. That's because, see, here in his end time, that thing is being exposed too. We're just exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. That's just Satan's, that communal living and that colony life is just a substitute for Christianity. You know what? You're supposed to serve the Lord with all your heart, not some colony, because you live in that colony. You're a slave to that colony life. And at the end of the day, you're a slave to Satan. That's all it is. That Satan is the head on it. And we keep seeing it over and over again, because now that we have come to the day and hour that we're living in, and we're in the last leg of the journey here, then the Lord has come down now, and what he's doing, he's exposing all the intent of every person's heart. You think these, like when we talk about these marches in the States, we tell the people that the Civil War is on, and what God is doing right now with these marches and King's Day, behind it all, that is the spirit of Satan. And what he's doing, he's taking these people out to hell and that, out into that lake of fire, because just up the road here, this 3 years from now, is that separating of the goats and the sheep. And they're determining right now which side they're on, who they're going to support. Because with all these marches, they're supporting this demonic program and agenda that Satan has raised up here in his end time to combat law and order, because Trump and Trump's agenda is to bring in law and order, not to let the country go down and give it to the terrorists. And that's what these marches are about. They're putting themselves right into that time when Jesus, I was hungry and you fed me not. They're part of that nucleus of people. When that separation comes for the goats and the sheep, he will tell them, go into everlasting fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels. And like I said, they're doing that right now. That's why I keep examining myself. See what is my motive? I'm for law and order. I'm backing up Trump 100%, because he's been sent by God, just like Nebuchadnezzar in his hour. And here Trump, all he wants is law and order. He wants people to be free, people to have an expected end and all that stuff. And people don't know what we know, but see, we found all that out once we found out about the midnight cry, because then all the end time, the scriptures all came together once we got the revelation of at midnight there was a cry. 1963, there was a cry. And then it's exactly what the scriptures say. Then shall the king have be likened unto 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. You can't see no foolish virgins back in Paul's hour, right through the grace age. All you can see is exactly what Paul came to do. He came to call out a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that era is over. It's no more calling out the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. As of October the 15th, 2021, that era ended. That was the seventh seal is open, and the great and the week of Daniel is on. And that happened exactly at that Yom Kippur. And we've said it over and over again, because where did you get that from? We simply got it. All we ever wanted, we wanted to know where we are in history. We wanted to know this great God, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. That was deep in our soul and our heart. That's all we wanted in life. And by God's grace, when he gave us the midnight cry, at midnight there was a cry, and February 28th, 1963, that's at midnight there was that cry. That's when that happened. And then when we did the investigating, and the Lord, like when the Lord brought us under the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, we knew exactly what that midnight cry was. It was the Church Age of Laodicea began in 1906, and then 1963 was the middle, and then 2021 was the end of the Grace Age, and the week of Daniel was on. And we got, like I say, when you do the math, you know, you can go do the math like we did. And then about 3 years from now, you'll find the 70th week of Daniel is over, and then somehow, supernaturally, the day of the Lord sets in, because it's all just fulfilling scripture. So for you and I, everything is so simple. We're just, and now what we're doing, we're reading the instructions. And in a week, and the Lord just let me see that when the Lord comes, he's going to test the motive and the intent of every heart. That's what's going on right now. And we're exposing what's behind that Hutterite, that commune style living, that Amish, that Mennonite, all these religions, all they're Satan's counterfeit, Satan's substitute for the real thing. And back in the early church, they had the real thing. But see, Satan is sitting back when God does something. Satan is like a dirty shirt. He sits back and he watches how he can pollute and how he can pervert everything. And it's throughout the Dark Ages, that's exactly what he did. He raised up that Roman Catholic Church, and that Hutterite thing, all it is, it's built on Roman Catholicism, because no matter how, what you say and what you think of it, they got their Pope. They don't call him Pope Leonard, they call him an elder, you know. Satan confuses the whole thing, and then make it appear like it's something holy, but it's not something holy. It's demonic, and behind it is the spirit of Satan to deceive the masses. That's his plan out here in these closing days of time. That's why we go back and we sing these songs when they were written back in the 15th, 16th, 1700s. But now everything is not, you can't trust nothing anymore, Ireland, because everything is in that gray era. We're in that gray horse rider, and where everything is neither black or white, where everything is lukewarm, just like Laodicea, it says about Laodicea, the church hour that we're now living. We're living in Laodicea, and it began in 1906, and here, at the end of the Laodicea, all it is fit for spewing out, because they've become full, and that's exactly what Laodicea said. You think you're rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, but miserable, but really, your soul and your spirit is miserable, blind, naked. And now, only thing that'll dress you to get you out of the dilemma that Laodicea is the minister, Brother Branham and Brother Jack, and that's what we're doing. That's our life. That's what we're holding on to the fort. We're holding on to the things that we have been taught. And that's our only commission we have. As street think, we let people know where we are in time. We let people know, exposing people what the devil is doing out there with his religious system. And then we're running this thing on three fronts. We're exposing that Hutterite thing for what it is. And you know, as time goes on, you're going to see it exactly what we're seeing. When the history books will be written, they'll know exactly that we were right all along. And we're just telling the people and warning of that great day just up the road here so that you can escape all this thing. And all that's on now, all that's left, it's no more calling out the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's now only one more thing left before things change. Before that, and that is that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, just like we're singing here, that song and about the coming of the Lord, about the bride going to the wedding. And that's what it's about now, the invitation, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that thing runs out too, just up the road here, when that rapture happens, that thing expires, and then it goes into something else, and then that scripture will be activated, blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth, and that's already happened. There's going to be martyrs. I believe that Charlie Kirk was one of the first martyrs. I believe, honestly, that he's standing now on that sea of glass, ready to be resurrected on that sea of glass, because, like I said, before the tribulation, that sea of glass was empty. Well, we're already part into the tribulation hour, and it hasn't reached its peak yet, but we're in it because we're in the last 3.5 years of the week of Daniel, and then that 3.5 years a week of Daniel, there is that window for that tribulation, like I say. It's not reached its peak yet. That's why people, it's slowly being implemented. And that's why people can't believe what we're saying, because they think it's going to be right, just snap of your finger, and there's that tribulation. Holy Lord, no, there's a starting point, there's a window when it happens, that 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of that week of Daniel, that's the only place you can fit that tribulation hour in, and then after that, like I say, then it's the day of the Lord, and it just keeps accelerating until the day of the Lord, and then Then it's the resurrection of the great multitude and those people in that sea of glass. And to you and I, everything is so simple because that's the only thing we ever wanted in life. We didn't want no fame. We didn't want no money. We didn't want nothing. All we wanted was that scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these, and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. And we keep saying it over and over. The righteousness is the message for you there. No matter how you painted that, no matter how you try to disprove it, the only thing throughout biblical history has always been the message for your day. Enoch had a message for his day. Adam had, Noah had a message for his day. Abel had a message for his day. Abram had a message for his day, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he believed it. And you can go right to biblical history, and it will and has always been the message for your day, because God keeps evolving. Everything keeps evolving. There's no more here now, here the end time. And you'll not get a commission and an order to go out and build a boat, because it served its purpose. It had its time back in the days of Noah. It was a time to build that ark, because he was listening to the message for his day. And you go down through time, back at the destruction of Jerusalem, these disciples that heard that voice, that listened to what Jesus had to say, they had a message for their day, and they got out of Jerusalem before all hell broke loose. And here in his end time, it's the same thing. We got the message for our day, and just up the road here, just a few short years, it's going to be worse. That angel comes down and he ties up, he throws them into hell, and the program just keeps going. We just happen to pick up. That's all we ever wanted in life. We just happen to pick up what God is doing and the hour of time that we're now living in. And that's our job, and that's what we're doing, and we'll do it gladly. It's just like that song said, I spend many nights by my bedside asking for forgiveness as I knelt and prayed. And if I could repay, I'd only be willing to do exactly what he wants us to do, because he saved us for a reason. He could get to safe to go to heaven. But see, you want the reward. You want us, the Lord, do with me as you see fit. Do use us for your honor, for your glory, because we want to have a reward when we get to the other side. We want to do everything that we can possibly do for the Lord, because he's done so very much for me. And that's basically when I examine myself. You know, that's really the motive that we're doing what we're doing. We're not doing it for selfish gain. It's because there's nothing in us to do that. We don't get paid. We don't try to make a name for ourselves, because it's the opposite. Once you do something, once you go about the Lord's business, believe you me, there's no room in here to try to make a name for yourself, because you're going to be humiliated, you're going to be kicked from pillar to post, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be shunned, you're going to throw everything they possibly can at you. And that's when I ended up, when I examine myself. I find I'm about the Lord's business. I don't have an inferior motive. I just want to be faithful and true.
There's something for every generation that God has. When you walk through the scripture and you see that God has something for every generation, and most of it in the generation miss it. When you will read Luke 11, it says, Jesus said in Luke 11:29, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. That every generation, you see that God has something for a generation. And in the days of Jesus, they wanted a sign. But he said to them, the only sign that you're going to get is the 3 days that Jonas was in the whale. Jesus is going to be dead for 3 days there in the tomb. And that's going to be a sign for this generation. And you can see how the queen of Sheba, she came when she heard the greatness of King Solomon. They heard it throughout the land, what God has done for the children of Israel. And she decided she's going to go up one day and go and visit Solomon and to hear, to see for herself if this is really so what she's been hearing. And she found it to be even greater than what she was hearing. So she went to the ends of the earth just to investigate this matter that she was hearing. And this, in every generation, God has. And Jesus said, see, a greater than Solomon is here, and you can't even acknowledge that. Like, it's standing right before you, the Messiah, Jesus. He came, and there they totally did not recognize it, that there was the greater than Solomon. That's why the generation in Nineveh will rise up in judgment against that generation, because they were totally ignorant to the time of their visitation. And you can see how the effort that God put on in this generation when he sent the prophet to turn us back to the faith of the early church. And that's what was his real mission, Brother Branham's. He was to send us back to the faith of the early church, and the generation out there totally missed it. And it's the same way with the generation in the time of Jesus, when they did not recognize their visitation. It's the same way in this generation, because in this generation, the Son of Man was being revealed. It was the same concept. Jesus Christ was being revealed in this generation through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, and they missed it. That's why the motives and the intent of the heart are not right, so they miss it. That's why when you get up in the morning, you really see if your motives are right and what your intent are, what is your whole makeup geared towards? Is it things in the natural, in the flesh, and things that are only for the carnal man? Or do you take time out every day and make sure you feel the heartbeat of God to find out what he has for this generation? Because in the end, these generations out there that actually did acknowledge something like the Queen of Sheba and also the Nineveh, people of Nineveh, when Jonah came and told them in 40 days God's going to destroy this place, and they repented. They acknowledged it and they repented. And that's why that generation will rise up against these generations that were totally ignorant of the things of God and judge them. Because they actually acknowledged things and they recognized the sign of what's coming. Nineveh recognized, like, we are actually heading for judgment. The church world out there does not even recognize that. They're heading for judgment because they rejected the prophet of God. And that's why their motives was not right, because a lot of them, they wanted a paycheck. They wanted to make a name for themselves with their television programs. And now you can see, as time goes on, how more things reveal itself. Like these preachers, what their real motives was. It was to build themselves an empire, not promoting really the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when I read, when I listen to these preachers and I listen to Brother Branham, the motive of his heart was pure, because that's the only thing that will kind of check you if you're going in the right direction. The other ones will lull you to sleep.
And you can look at their financial world, like Jimmy Swaggart. He was just out there. His motive was simply to make sure that the world, the Christian world, don't ever find out that Brother Branham was that person that the Bible says, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet." And he spent all his life trying to prove him wrong. And then when he was done, you could check in, see what his, he's worth millions, you know, when And it's a family empire. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. Just trash. It's not even worth the time of day, not even worth mentioning, because at the end of the day, his motive was wrong, and David proved it. All it is a family affair. And then when you go to our era, after Brother Brennan went off the scene, Eddie Bisley, he's the big man now for the so-called the message people, and he had a motive, and he had the intent of his heart to make sure that the people never find out that Brother Jackson was that man that continued on where Brother Brennan left off. And he spent his entire life just for one motive, to prove that he was that man, trying to prove that he was that man. But he was. He was just trash. When you look at it through the microscope of biblical principles, there he was. He was just trying to prove Brother Jackson wrong, and that's where that Blackbird and all that stuff came out. And that whole Brennanite movement, all they're involved in is trying to prove Brother Jackson was not that person. So what do you think they're going to do with us? We're just containing up. We're just holding up the fort. We're telling the people who Brother Brennan was, and we put them in its right perspective. He was that Malachi 4 prophet. He was that dressing that the Bible talks about. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. The ministry of Brother Brennan and Brother Jack is that gold tried in the fire. And all you have to do, you got to come under that umbrella, and you'll be clothed with a revelation, and you'll know exactly what we're trying to say here. We're not preachers. We're just holding on to the thing that has been preached. You go listen to Brother Brennan and that message that we had on this Sunday about false anointed ones, false Christ. I could never even hold a candle. The way he does so perfectly, how he goes in bit by bit and makes it so come alive that you can actually see who these false Christ are. There's these preachers out here that are trying to put themselves in the position where they were never meant to be put in. It just like we keep saying, I know the things we say is very hard, especially when we touch going to that Hutterite ground, because the people there have been so deceived and so brainwashed that what the things that we say, they're so foreign to them. And then we come out and we tell them that thing is behind it, it's the spirit of Satan. This is the same principle that the Roman Catholic Church had. And we know that that Roman Catholic Church was founded on Satan's satanic principles. And like I say, all these religions out there, they're just carbon copies. They're just to deceive you, to deceive the masses. That's why the hour that we're now living in, when Jesus was at, what will be the sign? The first thing he came out, deception. Deception of such magnitude that would even deceive the very elect. And we know that. And what we're trying to do, we're just trying to hold the fort. We're trying to wake up a people and tell them where it's at now. Right now, what's on here now is the invitation to the marriage supper of Lamb. And that, like I say, that thing runs out. And that once that thing runs out, it'll have served its purpose. And then it goes into another scripture. Blessed is he that dies of the Lord from henceforth. See, we're just happy to tap into the program, because that's all we ever wanted in life. And push can't be shot. That's what I stuck with that word. When James Allen came out, we're in the third day, and we saw right through that charade, and he was just trying to prove now that whatever Brother Jackson said, it's exactly what I saw in that dream. They're going to do everything they can to destroy everything that Brother Jackson never taught. And here they come. That's why I had that dream about the minefield. And when they came, when the interpretation of it came, they were just trying to prove the ministry of Brother Brennan. They just laid it full of minefields. And what it comes to is they're going to try to destroy everything Brother Jackson ever taught. And we said it over and over again. But see, it's our job to say it over and over again, because we're holding on to the fort. We're holding on to the things that we've been taught, the things that have been given to us. And we're putting it in its right perspective. We're putting Brother Brennan in his right perspective. When he went off to sing, the Lord continued, he says, because that word began, says, when he shall begin to sound, he continued with the vocal cords of Brother Raymond M. Jackson. And then when he goes off to sing, we're exactly fulfilling scripture that Jesus said, who is then that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has found faithful and wise to deliver meat in due season? That's what you and I are doing. Because Jesus is, that like that song says, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Just because he doesn't see it, he knows everything that's going on. He knows everything what went down in Laodicea. Because you can go back and see it. You think you're rich and you need nothing. I know thy works, he said. Because he's been watching, he's standing in the shadows watching everything that we do. That's why I had to do, say about, examine myself. I'm examining myself to see if my motive, to see if the intent of my heart is right, to see if when the Lord comes and checks through everything, he's going to expose the intent of the heart. He knows what my intent is, but sometimes I might not know, but that's why I said we have to examine ourselves to see if the intent of our heart is right. And even it says over in Jeremiah somewhere about that when the Lord comes, he's going to do exactly that. I just don't know how it's worded, where it's at, but it's somewhere over in Jeremiah.
It's Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve.
Hey, that's what he's doing right now. He's testing the mind, the heart, the intent of the heart, and we stand before the Lord an open vessel. He knows our intent. It's just like, you know, he knows what we're made up of. And over the course of ever since the Lord put me on the journey, I've tried my level best to be faithful and true. That's all I've ever prayed. Lord, help me to be faithful and true to what you've called me to be. And that's our only ambition in life, is to find our place in Christ and to be faithful. Once we found that place, and this is our place in Christ, that's what we've been honed out to do, to hold on to the things that we have been taught, to expose to the world the hour and time we're living in. And to expose these religious systems out there. Mm-hmm. We're fighting this war on three fronts, and we're doing our level best to try to do it to the best we know how, because we can only do it with our makeup. We know we can only express what we see in the scriptures. That's all we ever wanted. That's all we ever done. We wanted to be guided by the word, because it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. When we look back and we take inventory, when push came to shove, and we listen to these people that were not scripturally based, we separate ourselves from doing that. Exactly what the Lord told you what we need to do. From such separate, from such distance yourself from people that preach contrary to the things that we've been taught. And that's exactly what we're doing. We don't flirt around with it. We just separate ourselves from them, and we go on to the next chapter.
Growing up, you can see like, I can really say I keep listening for a different sound. Growing up, the sound of that colony was not the sound that my ears picked up. That Hutterite colony is not the way to heaven. There's a different sound that I picked up in the spirit, the way to heaven. And then God led my journey. He saved me and he led me to the righteousness for our day and hour. And that's the sound, a different sound that I picked up. And he led me straight to the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, brought me to the righteousness for our day and hour. So you people who pick up that sound, what God is doing for your day and hour, they will be clothed. They will not be part of that generation that their modus and the intent is not right. They'll be part of a generation that recognized what God was doing in the hour of time they're living.
That's why we keep repeating ourselves so many times. And we're saying the thing over and over again, because you're talking to people, like I say, many times I take it for granted that they also have been in that word all their life. But I know they're not. They've been brainwashed. All these years they've been brainwashed and told things that's not true. And here we are trying to tell them. And that's why we keep repeating it and repeating it and seeing it over and over again, because you're talking to a people that's been brainwashed, that had absolutely clueless of the day and hour we're living in. And then we come here and almost like a shock treatment. You're getting a shock treatment. That's why we talk so plain. That's why we call it, they're agents of Satan, these churches out there are. These preachers, they're out there to deceive you. They got the wrong motive. They got the wrong intent of their heart. And we're just exposing it, and that's the only job description we have. And like I say, that's all I'm afraid. Lord, help me to be faithful. Faithful to him, not to what the masses think, because no matter how you live, no matter what you do, they'll always find fault with you, no matter No matter how you live a perfect life, like I said, they did it with Jesus. They found fault with him. They'll find fault with us. Back when I was under their kangaroo course, they found fault with me, and I got up and I told them, you got nothing on me. And I was just trying to introduce the fact that God sent the prophet in these closing days of time. Malachi 4, how we don't have to listen to you. Well, that's all right. I just told me you're terminated. You got till sundown to get out of here. Well, of course I went, because they're very powerful people. And we keep repeating it over and over again. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we have to say it over and over again because people just don't get it. But anyway, that's our job, and that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we come before you, give you thanks for another day of life. We just pray for this week ahead that you'll help us walk in the Spirit, keep our hearts pure and the motives of our heart right, Lord, so that everything we say and do, Lord, that it's backed up by your word, Lord, and the time we're living in, Lord. We just pray that you'll help people to have ears to hear and a heart to receive, Lord, what your Spirit is speaking expressly in this hour. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.